All right, diving in. We're tackling marketing qualified leads today. And wow, you've sent us a ton of stuff.
It's a hot topic.
Yeah, it is. The Reach Marketing piece from January 31st, 2025. That one really stood out.
A good one.
It is. So we're going beyond just, you know, what is an MQL? We want to figure out why these things matter, like to you specifically, you know, to your goals.
So what?
Yeah, exactly. Get ready for some like aha moments, maybe some practical stuff you can actually use.
And maybe some surprises.
Oh, for sure. All right, let's unpack this thing. What is a marketing qualified lead? Reach Marketing, they talk about content engagement, demographics, those behavioral clues, but I feel like there's got to be more to it.
Yeah, there is. It's really about, like, think of it this way. They're waving their hand. They're saying, hey, I'm interested, and I fit what you're looking for.
They're raising their hand.
Yeah, it's that intent.
Oh, okay.
They're showing signs of being really interested in what you've got.
Yeah.
That's why those characteristics matter.
I see.
It points to a higher chance of them actually becoming a customer.
Okay, so it's not just any lead. It's someone who's kind of on the path. Not like sprinting toward the finish line, but definitely headed in the right direction.
Exactly. And that's what makes them so valuable.
That makes total sense. But how is an MQL different from like all these other leads we hear about? SQLs, IQLs, PQLs? It's like alphabet soup.
It can be. Yeah.
It's confusing.
It is. The big thing is the primary focus of each type Reach Marketing. They've got this table that breaks it down.
Okay.
Imagine you're at a trade show. An MQL is someone who stops by your booth. They chat for a bit. They take a brochure.
Okay, so they're engaged.
Yeah. And a potential fit. And SQL is someone who, after that chat, whips out their calendar and schedules a follow-up meeting.
Oh, so they're ready for the next step.
Yes.
Okay, so an MQL is like someone who's RSVP'd maybe to your party, but an SQL's already booked their Uber.
Uh-huh. I like that. That's a great analogy. The MQL is intrigued. Marketing's warmed them up, but they're not quite ready for that sales pitch.
I see.
The SQL, though, they're practically knocking on the sales team's door.
Interesting. All right, I'm starting to see the difference. Now, let's play detective. What are the signs, the clues that someone's a true MQL?
Hmm.
What should we be on the lookout for?
Reach Marketing, they've got some specific criteria. They list out behavioral indicators, like if someone keeps going back to your pricing page, or they download like multiple resources, or they attend a bunch of webinars, those are strong signals.
Right.
They're really digging deeper and they're showing that sustained interest.
Especially if they like match your ideal customer, right?
Yeah.
Say you're a B2B software company, and the person checking out your pricing page is like the head of IT.
Oh, yeah.
At a company that's perfect for what you sell, that's a huge flag.
Absolutely. And what's really interesting is how this all varies by industry.
Oh, right.
Like for B2B, that job title, it's huge, GE.
Huge.
But in B2C, it might be age or what they're interested in. You mentioned B2B in your notes, so those job titles.
Yeah, those are going to be important for
us. Very important.
Okay, that makes sense. But now we've got like a room full of potential MQLs. How do we figure out who gets our attention first? Because not all leads are created equal.
You're right. That's where lead scoring comes in. You've got all this amazing data from your email marketing, and it's like gold for prioritizing those MQLs. Think of it like a reverse loyalty program.
A reverse loyalty program, okay.
You're rewarding the right kind of disengagement.
I like that.
To focus on the truly interested leads.
Okay, so it's like giving points for specific actions. But instead of a free coffee, you get our undivided marketing attention.
Exactly. There are different models for lead scoring, but the core idea is to rank those leads based on how likely they are to become a customer.
I see.
There's the points-based system. You assign points for things like downloading content or visiting certain pages. You've already got the data to start building this.
So we're not just like winging it.
Yeah.
We're looking at data to guide us.
Exactly. It helps make sure you're making the most of those marketing efforts.
That's really helpful to know. Now let's talk about another scoring approach.
All right. Welcome back to the deep dive. Ready to get a little more into the nitty gritty of these MQLs.
Absolutely. We laid some good groundwork last time.
Yeah.
Right? We defined what an MQL even is, explored ways to like spot those promising leads.
Yeah, we covered a lot.
We did. And now I'm excited to like really put it all into practice.
Awesome. Today, we're going to build a rock solid MQL strategy, one that you can actually use.
Yes, let's do this. Where do we even begin?
We touched on it before, but lead scoring, It's really the heart of any successful MQL strategy. It's like having a VIP list for your marketing efforts. It helps you focus on those leads that are most likely to convert.
Lead scoring, it's like a secret weapon.
It can be. But remember, we talked about how there's no one-size-fits-all approach.
Right, right.
The BIS model, it really depends on your business, your industry, and what you're trying to achieve. Remember how we talked about points-based scoring? You give points for actions like downloading content, visiting certain pages.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, even within that model, there's still room for customization. You can choose to emphasize certain things, like maybe demographic factors, like job title or company size. Or maybe you want to prioritize those behavioral signals, like website visits or downloads.
I see.
It's about figuring out what says intent to your business.
So it's like we're building a custom recipe for lead scoring.
Exactly.
Taking those basic ingredients and adding our own special spices to make something unique.
I love that analogy. And the best part is, it's not a static recipe. You can adjust your lead scoring model over time. As you get more data and you understand your ideal customer better, you can tweak the recipe to make it even more effective.
That's really helpful to know. It takes the pressure off feeling like we need to, you know, get it perfectly right from the get-go.
Exactly. Now, remember our reverse loyalty program from earlier?
Yes.
Negative scoring plays a big role there, too.
Right. Negative scoring. That's where you actually deduct points based on certain actions.
Well, yeah.
I have to admit, I'm still a little unsure about this whole, like, penalizing leads for showing any interest at all.
I understand the hesitation. It's important to approach negative scoring carefully. It's not about, like, punishing leads for exploring.
Right.
It's about refining that focus. Imagine you're hosting a dinner party. You wouldn't keep refilling the glass of someone who's not drinking the wine.
True.
You'd focus on the guests who are enjoying it. It's the same here.
Okay, I see your point. It's not personal. It's just about recognizing when someone might not be the right fit for what we're, like, offering.
Exactly. Say someone unsubscribes from your emails, or they consistently download content that's completely unrelated to their needs.
Ah, okay.
Those could be signs that they're just not that interested.
So negative scoring helps us, like, declutter our list so we can really focus on those who are genuinely interested and engaged.
Precisely. It's like pruning a garden. You remove the weeds to help the healthy plants flourish.
Love that analogy. It helps me see negative scoring in a whole new light. Okay, so we've covered points-based and negative scoring. What about predictive scoring?
Ah, predictive scoring. That's where things get really interesting. It's about harnessing the power of data, letting algorithms do some of the work for us.
Okay.
Instead of just relying on our gut feeling to assign points, predictive models, they analyze past data to uncover patterns, the characteristics that are most strongly linked to conversions.
So it's like having a data scientist on our team, constantly crunching numbers and finding those insights that we might miss.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Predictive models can consider tons of data points, from basic demographics to complex behavioral signals, engagement metrics.
Wow.
They can even look at things like social media activity, browsing history.
That's incredible. But I'm guessing it takes a lot of data to, like, train these models to be effective, right?
You're right. The more data you feed into the model, the more accurate it becomes.
Makes sense.
So it's often a better fit for larger companies.
Oh, okay.
The ones with those more robust data sets.
So for a smaller company and we're still building up our data, it's probably better to start with a simpler model, like points-based or negative scoring.
Yeah. And then work your way up as you gather more information.
Okay. That's really reassuring to hear. Now let's say we've chosen our scoring model. What's next? What's the next step in building this killer MQL strategy?
Now it's all about attracting those highly qualified leads. This is where your marketing creativity comes in.
Okay, time to unleash the creativity. Give me some ideas. What are some of the most effective tactics for actually generating those MQLs?
There are so many options to explore. Content marketing, SEO, email campaigns, social media marketing, webinars, events, the list goes on.
That's a lot. How do we know which ones are right for us?
Well, you mentioned in your notes that you're primarily focused on B2B.
Yeah.
That's a great starting point. And as always, your specific audience and goals will play a role. But let's break down a few of the most popular tactics, just so you can get a better sense of the possibilities.
Okay, that was good.
You know what they say, content is king.
Yeah.
So let's start with content marketing. Why is it so crucial for attracting those MQLs?
I'm ready.
Think of content as the engine that powers your entire marketing machine. By creating valuable, informative content, you can attract those ideal customers, build relationships, and establish yourself as a thought leader in your industry.
So it's not just about creating content for the sake of creating content.
No, definitely not.
It needs to like resonate with our audience.
Yeah.
Right? Address their specific needs and pain points. Provide genuine value.
You hit the nail on the head. Think about the questions your ideal customers are asking, the challenges they're facing,
yeah,
the information they need to make informed decisions,
right,
and then create content that provides answers, solutions, valuable insights.
I love that approach.
Hmm.
It's about being helpful and providing value rather than just shouting about our product or service.
Exactly.
What are some examples of like effective content formats for attracting those MQLs?
Oh, there are so many. You've got blog posts, ebooks, white papers, case studies, infographics, videos, webinars, podcasts, the list goes on.
Wow, that's a lot.
You could even think about offering interactive quizzes. Yeah, they tend to have higher engagement rates than static content.
Oh, interesting.
And they can be really effective for capturing leads.
Interactive quizzes, I like that. They're fun, engaging, and it provide a way to kind of personalize the experience for each lead. Right?
Exactly. The key is to choose formats that align with your audience's preferences and your marketing goals. So if your target audience is primarily visual learners, you might want to create more videos and infographics.
Makes sense. Okay, I'm getting all sorts of ideas. But once we've created all this amazing content, how do we make sure it actually reaches the right people?
That's where SEO and content distribution come into play.
Okay, let's talk about SEO. I know it's vital for like getting our website to rank higher in search results, but how does it specifically help us attract MQLs?
Think of SEO as your website's spotlight. It helps those who are actively searching for solutions like yours find you amidst all the noise online.
Right.
It's not just about getting more traffic to your site. It's about attracting the right kind of traffic. The people who are most likely to become valuable customers.
So it's about attracting people who are already interested in what we have to offer, not just anyone who randomly stumbles across our website.
Exactly. And this is where keyword research becomes so important.
Right.
You need to understand the words and phrases your ideal customers are using,
right,
when they're searching for information online.
I see.
And then by optimizing your website and content with those keywords, you increase your chances of showing up in their search results.
Okay, that makes sense. So if we're selling like project management software for marketing teams, we'd want to target keywords like marketing project management software or best project management tools for agencies.
Exactly. By understanding your target audience's search behavior, you can make sure your website and content are speaking their language.
Okay, I'm seeing the power of SEO.
Yeah.
But what happens when we've successfully, you know, lured those potential MQLs to our website? How do we capture their information and nurture those relationships?
That's where lead magnets and landing pages come into play. You want to offer them something irresistible,
yeah,
something valuable in exchange for their contact information.
Right, lead magnets. You mentioned ebooks earlier. Can you remind me what makes a good lead magnet and why they're so important for capturing those leads?
Think of a lead magnet like a delicious appetizer. It entices someone to come in and try the main course. It's a piece of valuable content that you give away for free.
Right.
In exchange for that visitor's contact information, could be an ebook, a white paper, a checklist, a template, access to a webinar recording, anything your audience finds valuable.
So it's not a trick. It's like a mutually beneficial exchange, right?
Yeah.
We provide something helpful. They allow us to continue the conversation.
Exactly. And this is where landing pages come in.
Landing pages.
They're like the well-dressed host standing at the entrance, guiding your visitors to exactly where they need to be.
Okay. Tell me more about landing pages. How do they fit into all of this?
A landing page is a specific web page designed to convert visitors into leads. It's where you showcase your lead magnet.
Right.
And offer a form for visitors to fill out their contact information to get access.
Got it.
Your landing page should be clear, concise, completely focused on that one goal, convincing visitors to download your lead magnet.
So it's like a focused sales pitch for our lead magnet, right?
Yeah.
Trying to capture the attention of those who are already interested and encourage them to take that next step.
Precisely. It highlights the benefits of what you're offering, addresses any objections, makes it easy for them to convert. Think of it as your lead generation powerhouse.
Okay, I've seen how all these pieces work together. We're using content to attract, SEO to guide them to us, and then lead magnets and landing pages to capture their information.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brilliant system. What about email marketing, though? Where does that fit in?
Email marketing is another incredibly powerful tool for attracting and nurturing those MQLs. It allows you to build those relationships, deliver valuable information, showcase your product in a personal and targeted way.
You know, I almost dismissed email as being kind of like old school.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like it's still a major player, especially for B2B.
Oh, absolutely. Think about it. Most professionals, they start their day with a flood of emails.
It's true.
So why not be the email they actually look forward to opening?
I like that being the email they actually want to read. So
yeah.
How do we use email specifically for generating those MQLs?
First step is to build an email list of qualified leads. We can do this by strategically promoting our lead magnets on our website, across social media, through our other marketing channels.
And we can use things like pop-up forms and other lead capture techniques to encourage people to subscribe, right?
Exactly. Make it easy and tempting for people to join the conversation. Once we have a solid email list, the magic of email nurturing sequences begins.
Okay, tell me more about these email nurturing sequences. What makes them so special?
Imagine you have a new plant. You wouldn't just water it once and hope for the best, right? You'd nurture it over time, giving it the right amount of sunlight and water to help it grow email nurturing sequences. It's the same idea.
Okay.
You're cultivating those relationships. You're providing consistent value and guiding them toward becoming loyal customers.
So it's like we're taking them on this guided tour of our expertise, our solutions, right?
Right.
We're not just bombarding them with sales pitches. We're building trust and establishing ourselves as a valuable resource.
Precisely. You can automate a series of emails to deliver valuable content, build relationships, and gently nudge those leads closer to a purchase. It's about staying top of mind and providing a consistent stream of value.
Okay. I'm starting to see how email can be a real game changer. What about social media? Where does that fit into our MQL strategy?
Social media, it's a phenomenal tool for building brand awareness, connecting with your audience, driving traffic to your website.
Yeah.
It's also a fantastic platform for promoting those lead magnets, capturing more leads.
I see.
Think of it as a way to connect with people who might not be actively searching for you on Google just yet.
So it's about casting a wider net,
mm-hmm.
right? Engaging with people who might be interested in what we offer, but they haven't found us yet.
Exactly. By sharing insightful content, participating in conversations, even running targeted ads, you can build those relationships and nurture them into becoming MQLs.
What are some social media tactics that are particularly effective for generating MQLs?
Running contests and giveaways is a great way to generate buzz and capture attention. You can also use social media ads to target specific demographics and interests, making sure your message reaches the right people.
Makes sense.
But don't underestimate the power of organic content. Sharing valuable blog posts, eye-catching infographics, engaging videos, all of that can attract ideal customers and drive traffic to your website.
It sounds like social media offers a lot of room for getting creative and experimenting with different approaches.
Absolutely. And the beauty of social media is that it's always evolving. So there's always something new to try, new ways to connect with your audience.
Okay, so we've got content marketing, SEO, email marketing, social media, all working together to attract those MQLs. What other tactics can we explore?
Let's talk about webinars and events. They're especially effective for B2B businesses looking to connect with those MQLs on a more personal level.
I love webinars. They offer such a great opportunity to share your expertise, demonstrate your product or service, and answer questions in real time.
Exactly. They provide that human touch, allowing you to connect with your audience in a more interactive and engaging way. Webinars are also a fantastic way to capture leads and nurture those relationships further.
So how do we promote our webinars to ensure a good turnout? I'm picturing a packed virtual room buzzing with excitement.
Love the enthusiasm. You can promote your webinars on your website, social media channels, through your email list. You can even partner with other businesses or industry influencers to reach a wider audience.
Oh, that's a great idea. Collaborations can be such a powerful way to expand your reach. And during the webinar itself, we can use interactive elements like polls, Q&A sessions, even quizzes to keep people engaged and capture their information.
Exactly. And don't forget to follow up with attendees afterward. Send them a recording, offer additional resources, include a call to action to encourage them to take that next step.
This is fantastic. We've got so many great tactics for attracting those valuable MQLs. But once we have their attention, how do we make sure they actually convert into paying customers? After all, that's the ultimate goal.
You're right. Attracting MQLs is just the first step. Nurturing them effectively and guiding them through their buyer's journey is what turns them into loyal customers.
That's where lead nurturing comes in, right? It's all about building those relationships, providing the right information at the right time.
Precisely. Lead nurturing is all about cultivating those relationships, providing value, and gently nudging your leads towards making a purchase.
You know, it's kind of like dating, but for business.
I love that analogy. You wouldn't propose on the first date, would you? You need to take the time to get to know each other, build trust, demonstrate your value before taking that next step.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So what are the like essential ingredients for a successful lead nurturing strategy?
Personalization is key. You need to understand your lead's needs, interests, pain points. Tailor your content and messaging to resonate with them on a personal level.
So we're not just blasting out generic emails to our entire list.
Yeah.
We're segmenting our audience, crafting targeted messages that speak to their individual needs and interests.
Exactly. And thankfully, marketing automation tools make this personalization process so much easier. You can use them to tailor your emails, deliver the right content at the right time, track how they're engaging with your messages.
Okay, those tools sound like a lifesaver. What kind of content is most effective for nurturing leads?
It really depends on your audience and your goals, but some popular and effective formats include blog posts, ebooks, white papers, case studies, webinars, even email courses.
So we're continuing to provide value and educate our leads throughout this entire nurturing process. It's like building a library of resources tailored to their interests.
Exactly. And by tracking their engagement with your content, you gain valuable insights into their preferences and needs. This allows you to personalize your messaging even further, creating a more relevant and engaging experience.
Okay, I'm starting to see the power of lead nurturing. But how often should we be contacting our leads? Is there like a sweet spot between staying top of mind and, overwhelming them?
That's a great question. Finding that balance is important. You don't want to be the overeager salesperson who calls every day.
Definitely not. We want to be the helpful friend who checks in regularly with valuable information.
Exactly. A good rule of thumb is to connect with your leads at least once a month, but you can adjust the frequency based on their engagement and where they are in their buyer's journey.
Okay, so personalization, content, frequency, it's all important. What
Mm-hmm.
else do we need to keep in mind when nurturing those leads?
Never underestimate the power of a clear call to action. At every stage, you need to guide your leads toward the next step.
So we're not just giving them information, we're showing them what to do with it and encouraging them to take action.
Exactly. Whether it's downloading a resource, attending a webinar, or requesting a demo, make those calls to action clear, concise, and relevant to their needs. This will help boost those conversion rates and move those MQLs closer to becoming paying customers.
Okay, this is all making a lot of sense, but I have to admit, lead nurturing sounds like a lot of work.
It can be, but it's incredibly rewarding work. And the good news is there are tools and technologies available to help you automate and streamline the entire process.
Oh, tell me about these magical tools.
Marketing automation platforms. They're a lead nurturer's best friend. They can automate those email campaigns, personalize messages, track lead engagement, so much more.
So we can set up automated email sequences that deliver the right content at the right time without having to manually send each email ourselves. Sign me up.
Exactly. It frees up your time to focus on those big picture strategic decisions. And they offer features like segmentation, so you know your leads are getting the most relevant content possible.
Okay, I'm sold. What are some of the like top marketing automation platforms out there? I'm eager to start exploring.
There are tons of great options, and the right one for you will depend on your needs and your budget. Some of the most popular ones include HubSpot, Marketo, Pardot, ActiveCampaign.
Okay, I'm already feeling a bit overwhelmed with all the choices. What's the best way to narrow it down and choose the right platform for our needs?
Don't worry, it's a good problem to have. The key is to do your research, read reviews, and even try out some free trials.
Right.
That'll help you get a feel for each platform and see which one fits your workflow and goals best.
Okay, that's a great starting point.
Yeah.
So let's say we've chosen our marketing automation platform. We're ready to really dive into lead nurturing. What are some tips for creating like really effective nurturing campaigns?
Here are a few tips to get you started. Start strong. Craft a welcoming first email that introduces your brand, sets expectations, segment your list, divide your audience based on their behavior, interests, and stage in the buyer journey.
Okay.
Embrace personalization. Use their name, their company. Make those emails feel like a personal conversation.
I like that.
Provide valuable content. Focus on content that educates, entertains, inspires. Make them glad they opened your email.
Makes sense.
Include those clear calls to action. Don't leave them guessing what to do next. Tell them exactly what to do. And finally, track those results. Pay attention to your metrics. Be willing to adjust your approach based on what's working and what's not.
Those are some really helpful tips. Now, what about our sales team? When do we know it's the right time to bring them into the picture?
That's a great question. The timing of the handoff from marketing to sales, it'll depend on your sales cycle and those lead qualification criteria.
But we want to avoid handing them off too early, right? Before they're actually ready to buy.
Yeah. You're exactly right. You need to make sure they're qualified, they're engaged, they're showing those buying signals before you pass them on to sales. Otherwise, you risk wasting everyone's time and resources.
So how do we know when an MQL is ready for the sales team to, you know, make their move?
There are a few key indicators to look for. Their lead score, have they hit a certain threshold that says, hey, they're a good fit, they're engaged, content engagement, are they interacting with your content, downloading resources, showing interest,
right?
Direct requests, have they requested a demo, asked about pricing, reached out with questions,
right?
And sales interest, have they said, I want to talk to a salesperson?
So we're looking for like clear signs that they're moving closer to making a decision.
Yep.
It's about recognizing those buying signals and acting on them strategically.
Exactly. And once you spot those signals, it's time to hand them over.
But how do we make sure that handoff is smooth? I'm picturing a relay race where we don't want to drop the baton.
Communication is key. The marketing and sales teams, they need to be in sync.
Oh, absolutely.
Use the same terminology, share information about the lease history, their engagement, and work together to create a positive experience.
So it's all about collaboration. No more silos, no more just tossing leads over the fence and hoping for the best.
Exactly. When sales and marketing work as a unified team, everyone wins. The business thrives, sales closes more deals, marketing sees its efforts pay off, and the customer has a positive experience.
Okay, I'm feeling like a real MQL expert over here. But before we move on, I have one more question about lead nurturing. How do we actually measure how effective it is?
That's a great question. There are a few key metrics you can track to gauge how well your lead nurturing efforts are performing.
Okay, give me the rundown. What metrics should we be watching?
Here are a few to keep in mind. Email open rates, that tells you how many people are actually opening your emails. Email click-through rates, that shows you how many people are clicking on the links in your emails, which indicates engagement with your content.
Makes sense.
Landing page conversion rates, that's how effective your landing pages are at converting visitors into leads. And then lead to customer conversion rates, that's the big one. How many of those nurtured leads become paying customers?
So we're tracking how engaged they are with our content and how many of them are actually making a purchase. It's about connecting our marketing efforts to real business results.
Exactly. And by consistently tracking those metrics, you can identify what's working, what needs improvement, and make data-driven decisions to optimize your strategies.
Okay, this has been so incredibly helpful. But there's always more to learn, right?
You're absolutely right. In our next segment, we'll explore even more advanced MQL strategies and tactics to take your game to the next level. Get ready to uncover those hidden gems.
I can't wait. I'm feeling so inspired to, like, really refine my approach and see even better results.
That's the spirit. We'll be back soon with more insights and tips to help you maximize those MQL efforts.
Okay, we're back for the final part of our MQL deep dive. And I'm ready for those advanced strategies you mentioned.
All right. Get ready to level up your MQL game. We're going to explore some seriously powerful tactics.
Hit me with it. What's the first one we should tackle?
Let's talk about account-based marketing, or ABM for short. It's a game changer, especially for B2B.
I've heard the term ABM, but I got to be honest, it sounds kind of intimidating.
It can seem that way at first.
Yeah. Can you break it down for me? What's the core idea?
Instead of casting a wide net and trying to reach everyone, ABM flips the script. You focus your energy on a select group of high-value accounts, the ones that perfectly align with your ideal customer profile.
So it's like we're creating this VIP list of our dream clients.
Exactly.
And then we're like showering them with personalized attention.
You got it. It's quality over quantity. Okay. With ABM, you're not chasing just any lead. You're going after those companies that would be a perfect fit for your product or service.
That makes a lot of sense. But how do we even identify these dream clients? And once we do, how do we actually, reach them in a way that stands out?
Identifying your target accounts. It takes a deep understanding of your ideal customer. What are their demographics, their firmographics, their pain points, their goals? You mentioned you're in the B2B software space. So
yeah.
Think about the size of companies you want to target, the industries they're in, the specific challenges your software solves for them.
Right.
Once you have that crystal clear picture of your ideal customer, you can start researching companies that fit the bill.
So it's like we're profiling our perfect customer and then going on a treasure hunt to find those companies.
That's a great analogy. And there are actually tools and databases designed for this kind of research.
Oh, cool.
Once you've got your list of target accounts, then it's time to create a personalized outreach strategy. This is where ABM gets really fun.
I'm all ears. Tell me more about this personalized outreach. What does that look like in action?
With ABM, you're not sending out those generic emails or social media messages. You're crafting highly targeted, personalized content.
Yeah.
Speaks directly to the needs and challenges of each individual account. Think laser-focused messaging that really resonates on a deeper level.
So it's like we're creating a custom marketing campaign.
Almost.
For each of our dream clients, tailoring the message to their specific pain points and goals.
Exactly. For example, you might create a personalized landing page.
Oh, okay.
That features their company logo, showcases how your software has helped similar businesses. You could even send a direct mail piece with a handwritten note.
Wow.
Welcoming them to explore how you can help.
That's amazing. It's all about making them feel seen and understood.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to ask, it sounds incredibly time-consuming. How do we scale this personalized approach without, like, getting bogged down in all the details?
That's where technology comes in. Marketing automation platforms and CRM systems, those are your secret weapons for scaling ABM. They let you automate and personalize your outreach without losing that human touch. You can use dynamic content, personalized email sequences, other tools.
Oh, wow.
To make each interaction feel tailored and special.
Yeah.
Even if you're reaching out to hundreds of accounts.
That's incredible. It's like having a team of virtual assistants working behind the scenes to make sure every interaction is personalized and has that impact. Okay, I'm definitely seeing the power of ABM, but it also sounds pretty resource intensive. Is it the right fit for every business?
You're right. ABM is a more strategic and investment-heavy approach. It's best suited for companies with a high average deal value and a longer sales cycle. If you're selling a low-cost product with a quick turnaround, ABM might not be the most efficient use of your resources.
That makes sense. Okay, let's say we've determined ABM is right for us, aligns with our goals. What are some of the key benefits we can expect to see?
ABM can deliver some pretty impressive results. It can help you increase close rates, shorten sales cycles, boost your average deal size, and even improve customer relationships.
Wow.
It's a way to really focus your efforts and maximize that impact.
Those are some serious benefits. I can see why ABM is gaining so much traction. Okay, we've talked about ABM.
Right.
What other advanced MQL strategies should we explore?
Let's dive into predictive analytics. It's like having a crystal ball, helps you anticipate which leads are most likely to convert.
Ooh, now you're speaking my language. I love some data-driven magic. Tell me more about this predictive analytics crystal ball.
Predictive analytics, it leverages historical data and machine learning algorithms, uncovers patterns, and predicts what might happen in the future. In the context of MQLs, it can help you pinpoint those leads that are most likely to become customers based on their demographics, their behavior, their engagement with your marketing.
So instead of just like going with our gut or guessing, we can actually use data to make smarter decisions about which leads to focus on and how to engage them.
Exactly. Predictive analytics, it takes the guesswork out of lead scoring, helps you focus your energy on the leads that are most likely to actually bring in revenue. It's like a compass guiding your marketing effort.
Okay, that sounds incredibly powerful. But I imagine it's also pretty complex to implement.
It can be, but there are tools and platforms out there that simplify the process. Trust me, the benefits are worth it. You'll be amazed at the insights you can uncover and the impact it can have on your strategy.
Right, you've convinced me. I'm ready to embrace the power of predictive analytics. What are some specific ways we can incorporate it into our MQL approach?
Here are a few ways predictive analytics can take your MQL game to that next level. Identify those highest potential leads. Use those models to pinpoint the ones that are most likely to convert. Allows you to focus your time and resources on the best opportunities.
Okay.
Personalize your marketing messages. Tailor your messaging based on the predictions from your models. Increases the relevance and the impact.
I see.
Optimize those lead nurturing campaigns. Fine-tune your strategies based on predictive insights. Make sure you're delivering the right content at the right time.
Right.
And forecast sales revenue. Use those models to peek into the future. Make more informed decisions about your sales and marketing budgets.
This is incredible. It's like we can actually use data to, like, make smarter decisions, improve our efficiency, and ultimately get better results.
Yeah.
What else do we need to keep in mind when it comes to, like, actually using predictive analytics effectively?
It's important to remember that predictive analytics isn't a set-it-and-forget-it solution. It's an ongoing process, requires monitoring, refining, and a good dose of human expertise.
So we need to keep feeding the models with data and be ready to make adjustments. It's about that balance between the insights and, like, our own judgment.
Exactly. The more data you have, the better your predictions will be. And by analyzing your results and adjusting those models, you can improve the accuracy of your predictive analytics.
Okay, predictive analytics is definitely going on my list of things to explore. What other advanced MQL tactics should we be thinking about?
Let's talk about multi-channel nurturing. It's all about connecting with your leads wherever they are, engaging them in a way that feels natural, personalized, and relevant.
I'm noticing a theme here.
Mm-hmm.
Personalization seems to be the golden thread running through all these advanced MQL strategies.
You're absolutely right. Today's buyers, they're smart, they're savvy, they expect a personalized experience. They'll tune out messages that feel generic. To really connect with them, you need to meet them where they are and engage them on their terms.
So how do we actually create a multi-channel nurturing strategy that feels personalized, engaging, impactful? It sounds like there's a lot to balance.
It starts with understanding their journey and the channels they prefer at each stage. Are they researching solutions on Google, asking questions on social media, attending events? Once you understand their preferred channels and what they need at each stage, then you can craft a strategy that feels helpful, not pushy.
So it's about being there, providing the information they need in the right format at the right time.
Exactly. And with multi-channel nurturing, you can use a variety of channels. Email, social media, your website, webinars, events, even direct mail. The key is to create one cohesive experience across all of them. Your messaging has to be consistent, personalized, and relevant to where they are in their journey.
It's like we're creating an orchestra of marketing messages. Each instrument plays its part to create this beautiful experience for the listener.
I love that analogy. And just like a conductor guides the orchestra, marketing automation tools can help you manage your multi-channel efforts. They let you track engagement across those channels, personalize your messaging, and make sure each interaction moves them closer to buying.
Wow, this has been an amazing deep dive. I feel like I've learned so much about MQLs and the power of these advanced marketing strategies. We've covered so much ground, from lead scoring to ABM to predictive analytics. It's fascinating to see how it all fits together.
I'm so glad you're feeling inspired. Remember, marketing is always changing. Stay curious, try new things, and never stop learning.
That's great advice. I know our listener is feeling just as inspired and ready to, level up their MQL game.
Mm.
As we wrap up this deep dive, what's one final thought you want to leave them with as they embark on this MQL journey?
In the middle of all this data and technology and planning, never forget about the human element. We're not just dealing with numbers, we're connecting with people. Treat your leads with respect, empathy, and really want to help them achieve their goals. Build those relationships, provide value, create positive experiences. If you do that, the conversions will happen naturally.
That's a great reminder.
Mm.
It's so easy to get caught up in the metrics and forget that there are real people on the other side. Thank you for bringing us back to that.
Of course. It's been my pleasure.
And to our listener, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you've learned something new, gained some actionable strategies, and you're feeling excited about the power of MQLs. Until next time, happy marketing.